My grandma was like, first of all, if I ever said anything was gross, she would be like, you mean you do not care for it. Missy, there is bread, there is peanut butter, and there is jelly. Help yourself. And I was like, ooh, she is not playing.
Grandmas don't play.
This is On Nutrition, a podcast from Mayo Clinic, where we dig into the latest nutrition trends and research to help you understand what's health and what's hype. I'm Tara Schmidt, a registered dietitian with Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota. This episode, meal planning, aka the dreaded task many of us have to do if we want homemade meals throughout the week. How can we make it more efficient, healthy, and most importantly, taste good? For all the tips and tricks, I spoke with Jen Welfer, the executive wellness chef at Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota. Chef Jen helps patients establish healthy meal planning habits, and you can find more of her advice in her cookbook, Cook Smart, Eat Well, published by Mayo Clinic Press. Hey, Chef Jen.
Hey, Tara.
So thank you for being here. We are talking all things meal prep today, and I think we are going to make this easy and realistic for everyone, ideally. Because I think when we think about meal prep, we are imagining some like buff guy in their kitchen, probably shirtless, with grilled chicken, broccoli, and brown rice. Why do you think that that method became so popular?
We're trying to be efficient, right? And I commend that. I just think that is not the only way to do it, especially very busy lifestyles, very active, so on and so forth.
Yeah. And if eating grilled chicken and broccoli and brown rice for lunch every day is your jam, you do you, right? If that is what keeps you on track, if that's what keeps your portions in check, if that's what helps you with balance of nutrients, like I'm all for that. I think you and I just want to make sure that people are also familiar with different ways to meal prep, and there are more than one of those.
Absolutely. And this is what I always kind of try to tell people too, is like, I want you to approach it as killing two birds with one stone. If I'm in the kitchen cooking something, I want to maximize time in there so that I can be more efficient. So if I'm boiling water for pasta, can I be steaming broccoli on top of the pasta at the same time? Yeah. Yeah, I can do that. Right? Because that broccoli is actually for tomorrow's stir fry.
So again, I don't think most people would have thought of that, though. That's very chefy of you.
Yeah, that's my job.
That's why we're here to learn from you.
That's right.
I'm like, yeah, I can have two other pans of boiling water and two of my hard boiled eggs. You're like, no, Tara, same pan. Let's talk about some of the benefits of meal planning. I think the most obvious ones are physical, like health benefits. But I also think maybe there's a little bit of a mental benefit, too, if we think about stress and time burden. Tell me what you find are the biggest benefits.
So I think a big part of that is it gives you the ability to nourish your body in a way that is actually very easy, right? And so I don't have to go out to eat. If I have a family, I don't have to get everybody there, try to handle everybody's order, all of the things, right? So there's a lot of practicality in just knowing, like, I just have to warm this part up and maybe I have to cook this, but I'm just going to kind of assemble and execute.
Yeah.
And gosh, that just really streamlined the process. And I think that if we can just kind of like grasp that idea, but just the planning is going to be so important for the execution to go smoothly.
I love the phrase that you just said, assemble and execute. Because how nice does it sound to walk into your kitchen after a day of work or a day at home with kids or a day of volunteering, whatever you do, and just be like, okay, I have three steps until dinner's done.
Yeah.
That sounds lovely.
I think it's important for us to understand if we set our environment up for us to be successful, it's not just setting ourselves up for success, it's our family as well. We can make it easy for us to just eat more balanced meals, right? They may not be perfect, but they'll be balanced, right? If I go into the refrigerator and there's clementines in there, I might be like, oh yeah, that sounds good. But no, I don't feel like peeling that thing. But if I go back into that refrigerator and they're all peeled, I will easily grab that. Right. And so that's what I mean about really setting your environment up for it to be easy for you to be successful.
I talk a lot about that with kids. And I think I would reference myself as a teenager that unless it was on my chore list, I would have never been like, oh, like I should cut that watermelon up. Like, right. That's not my job. Unless my mom put it on my list and then yep. I would do it. Right. But then you come home and there's a cubed watermelon in the fridge and you're like, let's go. When you come into your kitchen and you open up the cupboard or the fridge, you're likely to eat one of the first three things that you see. And absolutely. How sweet is that if it is cubed watermelon or a clementine, peeled or not peeled? I'm willing to peel it, but is my toddler now like, Mom, peel this for me? Do it yourself.
I don't want to get my fingers dirty. Jeez.
Exactly. So with this planning ahead, like you said, which mm-hmm. is kind of the key step, how do we initiate that?
So I usually try to tell people, if I have this blank piece of paper out in front of me, I'm looking at how I got to fill it in. And like, that's daunting because you're thinking I've got chicken. There's a bazillion things I can do with chicken, right? So I wouldn't start there. Versus I think, what if I pick a sauce?
Oh,
teriyaki sauce. That kind of drives the rest of the menu, right? I think I can have rice. I can have chicken. I could do that with any, right? I could do a tofu, shrimp, whatever, mm-hmm. right? So now I have rice. Okay, so I'm going to make enough rice to have another meal, all right? So I think of another cuisine that has rice in it. So I think Mexican. So I put salsa or pico de gallo or whatever. Mm-hmm. Now we got tacos, right?
Yeah.
We can have chicken tacos. So what I'm saying by that is I can take this chicken breast here. I can just do salt, pepper, whatever. Maybe I'm going to add some cumin and lime juice to it, but I can grill it all in the same pan. And there's a couple ways to approach this. I could fully cook all of it, right? Mm-hmm. And then for tomorrow's tacos, right? I can put that in, like warm it up. Or I can think, I'm just going to pan sear this or grill this, let it cool, put it to the side. When I get home tomorrow from work, I'm going to put this in the oven and finish cooking it. The rice is already made. I just got to maybe chop some cilantro, squeeze a lime in there. We're good to go. I had stir fry the day before, so I should have some extra peppers. And so now I've got peppers here. I just have to saute those, take the chicken, saute that up, and then build my tacos. So again, when you're looking at planning, you want to cross-utilize your ingredients. And when you're doing the actual execution of the planning, I think it's good to start with a sauce, because it can help drive the rest of the menu versus I have chicken and green beans.
I drive my menus by the protein. And yeah. I'm gonna stop that because I'm like, okay, we're going to have fish again this week for the 52nd week of this year. And I'm going to eat for the rest of my life. And I'm trying to eat more right. fish. So right. I like that idea.
In my cookbook, I have like a sheet and I call it mix and match, right? Like I'm putting this on like fifth grade level, maybe fourth. But I can go down the list of sauces and I'm like, lemon dill. Okay, salmon. That sounds good. Versus just putting salmon.
Yeah.
Sounds boring, right?
Yes.
So if I can kind of pick a sauce and drive the rest of the menu. If I decide to put sweet potatoes on my menu, I want to have sweet potatoes somewhere else in my menu. Bake them one time and then maybe the next time you have them mashed.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe you do like a sweet potato bowl. Maybe I pull some quinoa from the freezer. I could chop up some chicken. I could do some feta cheese, some oregano, lemon. I don't know. Throw in some spinach. There we go. Most of those things are already done.
Yeah. And you're talking a lot about cross-utilization of ingredients, which we talk about when we're talking about budgeting for grocery yes. shopping and meal planning. And also because we don't want to waste food, because I hate them like, oh, I had really good intentions of using this. And then I just never did.
I think you need to be very intentional about the ingredients that you're buying, that it is on the menu. Not, oh, I'm going to buy some salad because it'll be nice if I could have one this
and
week.
I hope I make myself a salad.
Yeah. No. Oh, that would be a good idea. Yeah, it's just an idea, right? But we haven't done anything to it. So often people will buy a head of cauliflower because it was on sale. Did they plan to eat it? Nope. And we need to be better about that. We will save a lot of money, I tell you.
Yeah. Think about a restaurant buying an ingredient and they don't have that ingredient on the menu. Like, that doesn't make sense. I've actually done that from the farmer's market. Like, oh, that looks beautiful. Okay. I'm like, oh, wait, I don't know what to do with that. And then it just sits there.
Now I got to cut that. Ugh. What a chore.
Absolutely. Because this is time. We're not going to pretend like meal planning does not take time. But what we're trying to do is save you time, whether that's when you're coming home from work or you're saving time when you're like between three sports, or we're saving time because you're not going out to eat, which I promise you does save time, even though you think it doesn't. It does. Like you sitting in the drive-thru.
1,000%.
Don't argue with me on that one.
Right.
What about when people do have these places to run off to, right? So I come home from work and I have to get now to place X, or I have to get kid to place Y. What do you like to do on those nights?
What you have to think about is, okay, prepare to fail.
Yeah.
So when we prepare to fail, we have at least set ourselves up to some sort of success because we have some backup plans, right? So whether it's a frozen pizza and you can throw some vegetables on that, or it's side salads, or maybe it's you've got chili, you've got cans of soup.
Grilled cheese and tomato soup, baby. And by prepare to fail, you mean like having something easy on hand for times when you don't have time to make something from scratch, right?
Exactly. Exactly. So I think when it comes to that, you want to almost think of, ideally, if Tuesdays are crazy, you're actually going to cook that on Monday night and you're just reheating it on Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's really about kind of that approach, but always prepare to fail and have something ready. We want that for like, you know, once or twice a week, because otherwise you might fall back on that. Even if you have like a pan of lasagna in the freezer, you pull that out Monday. And then Tuesday, it gets warmed up, however that looks. Or maybe you have some frozen bags of rice, broccoli, and you have some pre-grilled chicken in the fridge because you plan that. And you're just going to throw that together and you're going to put a sauce on it. And anytime you cook something from frozen state, you usually jack up the temperature because you have extra moisture and you're trying to get rid of that. So just a little tidbit there. But how easy is that? And here's the thing. Do not put things in the freezer just so you don't have to throw them away today. If you haven't eaten something in your freezer in 3 months, there's a good chance you're not going to, right? Like I buy frozen blueberries because I'm like, oh, it'd be really great for me to make blueberry pancakes. That was 2 years ago. Those blueberries are still in my freezer.
It's like one big blueberry.
Yeah, like I'd rather go to the store and just go get some fresh ones at that point. Like, silly. So don't do that.
Another busy family night tradition we do is fish, because fish takes what, 15 minutes to cook compared to chicken, right? So we do fish, and then we do a steamer bag of edamame, which I think is fabulous.
Right.
And then we do like minute rice. Are you judging me because I use minute rice?
It's super convenient. But I think, again, you bought a product that is your backup plan.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Right? You prepared to fail. And not that I'm calling you a failure. That's certainly not what it's doing. But you see what I'm saying? If that's what's going to be the best for you and your family, I would go with that.
What are the main foods or ingredients that you prep ahead of time? What strategies do you have for people to follow?
Actually, I would say prep it all. But this is what I mean by that, is you break it down. Because when you first get started, that's a lot. That's the Super Bowl then. That's that mindset. Versus thinking, okay, I'm going to get a frozen bag of rice for tonight's dinner. That's a shortcut for me. And then I'm prepping all of these vegetables. So basically, every night that you're cooking, you might be making another component for another meal, right? Because you're already assembling and executing. So if I'm baking lasagna, why can't I put in some sweet potatoes in the oven too?
Yeah.
Because those are going to be for tomorrow. That saves me so much time. So if I'm making rice, well, I have rice for the week. So those other days, I do a different ingredient, I would say, to get me ahead. So maybe the day that my starches are done, I'm getting a bunch of my proteins cooked. And I always tell people, you don't have to cook your proteins all the way through, because I think what happens is people always say, well, chicken's so dry. Or I'm like, that's because you're overcooking it. And then when you overcook it, what are you doing? You're drowning it in sauce. And if you're from the Midwest, it's barbecue or ranch, right? Which is really caloric. So, okay, let's work on that. Let's see if we can just cook right to the temperature that we need it to. But we can pan sear things, right? I can take a whole pan. I can do 4 chicken breasts that are, I don't know, Cajun seasoned. Wipe out the pan. I can do another 4 chicken breasts that's maybe, I don't know, like basil and oregano. So it's maybe more like chicken parm flair to it. And then I can pull that out. And then tomorrow I can finish that in the oven. Maybe I do a different take on chicken parm that way. And so you're looking at just kind of preserving the natural integrity of the juiciness of the protein by just kind of doing the pre-searing. Because if I just have to take chicken out of the refrigerator already seared and seasoned and loved and put it in the oven, oh, I'm so happy.
Well, and then you're going to get what feels like a super fresh, warm meal.
Exactly.
Not like, I have to eat leftovers, which
exactly.
I know people have opinions about, quote, leftovers.
Yes. Yes. And I think, too, is like, I try not to have people have that switched mindset of like, call that prepped food.
Love it. Yeah.
Because if you're at a restaurant, you think they're making individual rice and mashed potatoes for your plate. No. Some of that rice was done a day or two before. Mm-hmm. And fried rice, honestly, is way better if it's dried out rice or what you'd call old rice, which is really prepped rice. So yeah, got to flip the script on that one a little bit.
I like that. And I heard you kind of say, if you're going to be in the kitchen cooking or waiting for something to be done cooking, do something else. Like turn on a show, turn on some music, get a nice cup of whatever you're going to choose to drink and get stuff going. You're going to have to be in the vicinity of your kitchen anyway if something has to do with heat. So do something else. So now in the morning, like take it out, put it in, you are done.
Assembling and executing.
I love that.
See? You got this.
We should have another cookbook called Assembling and Executing.
Hey, I'm right here. I'm waiting for it.
Let's do it. Let's do it. When it comes to meal planning, lead with taste. Having a specific flavor in mind can help you brainstorm and cross-utilize ingredients for different dishes. That way, when you assemble and execute your meals, you can have different veggies and proteins seasoned and cooked way ahead of time. Think of your kitchen as a restaurant. If an ingredient isn't on the menu, don't buy it. Instead, prepare to fail. Reserve extra packaged or frozen items for those busy days when you don't already have a meal ready. You can cut down your kitchen time by cooking ingredients for different meals together, like steaming your vegetables above your boiling pasta, or seasoning and pre-searing chicken so it doesn't take as long to cook later in the week. And the freezer is a great tool for having easy meals ready when you are, as long as you aren't using your freezer as storage for foods you'll never get to. Now let's talk about navigating picky eaters and conquering the kitchen, even when you really don't want to. So let's get into like the actual meal planning, which again can sound really daunting. Do you start with the grocery list or do you scan your pantry first or do you have this blank sheet of paper that you're talking about and you do like the sauce thing? Where do you start?
So I usually start by like a plan. I keep a couple things always consistent, but that's because it works for me, right? So just because it works for me doesn't mean it's going to work for anybody else. So I always want to preface that. But like I always go to Costco and I buy the baby romaine lettuce. And I have 5 Caesar salads.
You're such a gym bro.
That's my plan. It doesn't always have to be Caesar, but that is unfortunately my favorite. But sometimes I also do like that for taco salad. But I just absolutely naturally love salad. That is just my thing. But then from there, I typically only have maybe 3 different meals for the week. I'm happy with that. I like that. Mm-hmm. My life definitely revolves a lot around Italian and Mexican food. So if it's going to be pasta, I'm either going to do bolognese or pesto. And so I can interchange that very easily. So I know that I'm just looking at getting pasta, rice, my meat, my lettuce, usually tomatoes because I can cross-utilize that and then I build on that. So when I do Mexican, when I'm buying tortillas, the other plan with that too is understanding I don't buy that for one meal. I plan on like, okay, I'm having burritos, I'm having a chicken Caesar wrap or a buffalo chicken wrap, I'm having quesadillas, maybe I'm having an egg burrito.
Yeah.
Because how often do people buy tortillas and have zero plan to use the remainder of those tortillas?
Yeah, if you buy a pack of 10 and you're going to eat 1 or 2, you're like, okay, so now your 9 tortillas are going to sit and just wait either for you to use them or for them to get moldy.
Exactly.
And one of those is a better option than the other.
Right. So yeah, I really just kind of look at it like, okay, what are my consistents? but I don't overcomplicate it because I know my lifestyle and I'm honest with myself.
Yeah.
Most of the time.
That's why there's no one meal plan or even theory or strategy for people to do meal prepping and planning, because I have kids at home and some people do not have kids at home, and you may live alone and you may live with your in-laws and there may be six people. I don't know. It's all different. And then we also have the concept of, are you home during the day? Are you not home during the day? So you have to do what works.
But I also want to like mention a little bit is I see a lot of patients that come in, and a lot of these, they're either about to be empty nesters or they have a house full of picky eaters. And here's the thing. You are not a short order cook.
Heck no.
You have to make sure that unless you have a severe allergy, this is what's for dinner. Because I have met with patients that have to make something special for their husband, something special for this child and this person. You will learn very quickly in life that if you're hungry, and it might not be your favorite food, but you're going to eat it.
And I work with families a lot on engaging the other family members then in the meal planning. So if we're having fish and broccoli, I'm like, oh, you know what? Maybe my kids' favorite foods are not fish and broccoli, but we're going to eat it. So suck it up. Hey, do you guys want to have the wild rice as our side? Do you guys want me to make couscous? Like, they get to pick. And then I at least know they're going to eat one thing. We call that kind of a safe food sometimes. And most of the time, they're not just going to eat the safe food. They're going to end up eating the other foods on their plate.
Yes, because it makes the chef's job more daunting. And why would I want to do this? Why would I want to meal prep? Why would I want to plan if it's always a fight and a battle? And it shouldn't be. I grew up, it was eat or be eaten, to be completely honest with you. My grandma was like, first of all, if I ever said anything was gross, she would be like, you mean you do not care for it?
Yes. My kids like, say, this is not my favorite.
Right. But she said, Missy, there is bread, there is peanut butter, and there is jelly. Help yourself. And I was like, ooh, she is not playing.
Like, okay. Grandmas don't play.
Yeah, she did not play. And not that you have to be that stern and not that life is like that, but I just don't want the people who are preparing the meals to feel like they're like going to war.
Yes.
That's not what it's about, right? And it's okay to hold boundaries within the meal plan.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I know that there are different takes on this, and I know that every child especially is going to have a different severity of their picky eating. So I'm not making a generalization. But for a lot of kids who say, like, I don't want to eat this, my encouraged response is like, you don't have to. I'm not going to force you to eat all of the broccoli. I'm not even going to force you to have three bites of it. I'm going to ask that you try it. I'm going to demonstrate trying it. And we're not going to make a big deal out of if you took a bite or not. I think sometimes the more neutral you are, the less craziness there is. And guess what? A lot of times they end up trying it.
Exactly.
And then I try not to celebrate that either because I'm trying not to have a reaction.
Yeah. I just had a patient today and she's like, my husband needs to lose weight. And she's like, you know, I'm always like, well, we're going to try this new thing. And I said, don't even highlight that you're trying to cook healthy. I said, because he's already going to go in at it with a negative mindset. You know, no big deal.
Making less of a show about it is always beneficial, I think. How do you help people, or what do you encourage people to do if they hate grocery shopping or feel like they don't have the time? They're considering a subscription type service. Mm-hmm. Is it kind of back to like you do you and what works for you?
Yeah. But, you know, sometimes I tell people, okay, buy three meals. Because three meals could be a bag of rice, pasta, chicken, marinara, teriyaki, and a bunch of vegetables. Right there, we could have a chicken quesadilla. We can have stir fry, right? We can have chicken parmesan. Right. That's three meals. How many ingredients do we have? Like seven? That's not a full cart. That's a basket.
Yeah.
If you dumb it down like that, and even if you make them question, what condiments do you have in your refrigerator right now? I bet everyone's got a pretty full condiment section in the refrigerator. I mean, I even have to do it to myself. I was like, oh man, I got pad thai sauce in here. I was like, huh. It's really being about a little bit more like realistic within that. And again, like you said, you do you. If it doesn't make sense for you, then that's okay. Go do a subscription box.
And you and I can have this conversation super easily because we both love to cook and kitchen's our jam.
Right.
The kitchen is not everyone's jam. So when someone is not comfortable in the kitchen or they hate cooking, as I hear some people tell me, what methods do you have?
So I always usually try to find, okay, where are they at in this road? Because if you were to say you need to roast a whole chicken, they're going to be like, yeah, next, I'm going to fast food. But if it takes off the weight of their shoulders and buying a rotisserie chicken, they'll be like, okay, well, yeah, I can make a salad. Well, okay, cool. Well, then let's do that.
You don't even have to make a salad from scratch. You can buy a bagged salad.
Exactly. But here's one thing that I really want people to try to start to embrace, especially if you live in an area where there's like a Whole Foods, is they have like these salad bars, right? And it's like plain quinoa, cucumbers, right? You can literally buy your prepped ingredients there.
Yeah.
So you don't even have to do some of that work. You can just buy it. The quinoa's made. I've seen roasted sweet potatoes. I have seen like kale blanched. Sometimes they have a seasoning. Sometimes they don't. It just depends. And usually if you're at like a Fresh Market or a Whole Foods, they usually have a little bit more of your health in mind when they're preparing it. So I do. Yeah, absolutely. Buy the prepackaged things. Because if that is better than you going to fast food all of the time, I'm going to meet you where you're at. And if we can get you one step closer, perfect.
I've had patients who regularly buy, like on a weekly basis, a veggie platter like that you would bring to a party. And their rationale was, I'm not peeling carrots and I'm not buying an entire cauliflower because that's way too much cauliflower. And guess what? That's how I eat vegetables. That's how I don't waste. That's what's going to work for me. And I'm, yeah, it's more expensive, but you can rationalize that because you are paying someone to do the chopping and the washing and the cute little organization for you.
Yeah, I get that question too with even when it's like conventional or organic. I'm like, I just want you to do the apple. I don't really care which one it is.
Yep. You know this in your sleep, but seasoning food, I think, is a little bit uncomfortable or an unknown for people. You can like whip out like, okay, so this is chicken, so we're going to do basil and oregano, and this is fish, so we're going to do dill. Not everyone has that encyclopedia in the back of their brain. How do you help people season food without just butter and salt and pepper?
Always have a foundation. And I always take onion powder, garlic powder, salt, pepper, right? That is my foundation. So if I season everything with that, it's at least going to taste good. But that might not be quite exciting. So if I want a little spicy, what if I had a little cayenne? Or I want something Greek, but I could add lemon and that'd be nice. I could change two variables, but if I keep my foundation the same, it's no different than if you have rice. I can go rice and I could have Mexican. I could have Asian. I can do what I call all American, right? And our casserole.
White rice with butter and salt.
There you go. But we can like start using fresh herbs. And one thing I'll kind of mention about, I get this a lot from patients is like, well, I love getting fresh herbs, but they don't last long. I said, but do you plan to use all of it up? So whether you put it on your chicken and then a couple of days later you roast it on your potatoes, okay, cool, right? But dried herbs need some moisture.
Correct.
So if I just put dry rosemary on chicken and throw it on the grill, you're really not going to get the same flavor as if you had fresh. But if I put that dried rosemary in a sauce, I can get a nice flavor profile. There are charts you can follow. Adding an acid, I think, is always good. And I always say if it's like the sherry cooking wine, lime juice, lemon juice, balsamic vinegar, red wine, any of those with your foundation will add something different and just start to get kind of comfortable. There is a little research on the cook's end, but I think if you understand having a foundation of seasoning, you'll be okay. And I do recommend using kosher salt over iodized salt just because you can use a lot less.
And we get plenty of iodine in our food.
Yeah, definitely.
What kind of foods still have integrity at the end of the week if they've been sitting in your freezer, right? So like, I don't want something sitting in my fridge for 7 days necessarily. So I want it in the freezer, but I also want it to not feel like I microwaved a frozen food.
Right.
Any foods that are freezer safe if you want to do something on Sunday night, but not eat it until Friday?
Yeah, absolutely. I think one thing to remember too, though, is if you're going to put something in the freezer, put it in the oven to finish the process versus the microwave. And I will tell you this, you can freeze pasta, you can freeze rice and grains and quinoa and farro and barley and all of the things. I want you to take like a measuring cup full of water, put that in the microwave and boil that. Take it out, pour it over your rice, pour it over your pasta, whatever, let it sit, strain it off. You've done two things. One, you've reheated it and you've rehydrated it because freezers, refrigerators are like dehydrators.
Meal planning is not one size fits all. It really depends on your lifestyle. The amount of people in your home and their appetites can certainly dictate how much food you make, but they don't always get to dictate what you make. Sure, take people's taste preferences into account, but you are not a short order cook. Simplify your work each week by making 3 or so meals for everyone. And if cooking's not your jam, there's nothing wrong with taking shortcuts like a bagged salad or meals from the grocery store hot food bar. But if you want to spice it up, you can't go wrong with these base flavors: salt, pepper, garlic, and onion powder. And then do some research about matching herbs and flavors to take your meal to the next level. Now let's get into the ultimate meal prep. Holiday season. The holidays are coming up, and it can be really stressful to cook a ton of food for visiting friends and family. So obviously preparing things can be essential or really helpful because you don't want to be stuck in the kitchen necessarily.
Right.
Any tips for preparing a feast ahead of time or, again, half preparing it?
Yeah. I mean, even if you think like Thanksgiving, you can easily bake the sweet potatoes, mash them, put them in a container in the freezer, and then pull them out and start to season them, right? And slowly warm them up. And think of it, if you look at a convention center, they're not always making everything from scratch 2 days prior. A lot of that stuff is done like a week before, and they start to pull and thaw, right? And then they assemble it. Scale that down to like your little home.
Okay, I'm going to make the salad dressing from scratch. That can just sit on your counter, likely, if it's a like an oil-based dressing. Okay, I can also prep like the nut mixture that's going to go on top. That can sit in the pantry. And just then day of, guess what? You're like dumping things in a bowl.
And execute. Absolutely. Like any type of like panko crust, if you're doing anything fancy, make that whole panko crust or whatever it is, and then put that in the freezer. And then pull it out when you're ready.
Yeah, I don't think people think of freezing things like that.
Yeah, they don't. And I understand if you're not used to like thinking that forward. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's hard to like get out of that mindset of not being like that.
The holidays, good or bad, are also a time where a lot of us are eating more red meat than normal. I'm definitely eating more dessert than I normally would. So I'm very conscious to not like dietitian everything. Do you have little tips or swaps that you also do to make things healthier, but not upset Uncle Joe?
Of course. So like mashed potatoes, I always put in pureed cauliflower. Like I am like your cauliflower queen. Boil it all. Get your little stick blender. If you have a food processor, do that. Process it all. Let it cool. Put it in a bag. Put it in the freezer. So when you're making your mashed potatoes, you're adding that. The cool thing about adding cauliflower is it's pretty wet at that point. So you don't need as much cream or butter or sour cream or whatever to help kind of whip that and get it fluffy. Yes, you can still add butter, but usually you don't need to add really any milk, right? So add your garlic, your salt, pepper, right?
And people are probably, if you didn't tell them, probably wouldn't know.
Never tell them.
So if no one's allergic to cauliflower, just don't even say
exactly. I use a lot of quinoa in with my meat, a lot of quinoa, because it is a complete protein. But my ratio from red meat is different.
What can people bring if they are not a chef, to someone's home for a holiday gathering. They want to bring something healthy. We also want to impress people. So like, what else can we bring that's not just a veggie platter or a fruit platter?
Oh gosh, it depends. So you can do, I like this, and people usually like these because there's not a lot of ingredients to them, but they're so delicious, is I make sweet potato quinoa cakes.
Yum.
They're kind of a fun little side dish.
Are those in your cookbook?
They are. They are.
I know exactly
they
what
are
you're talking
my
about.
Friggin' favorite. And sometimes I get bougie, and instead of Parmesan cheese, I'll use Gruyere. And sometimes I just switch everything up altogether. Well, I'll make it kind of smoky and do poblanos. By the way, huge poblano lover. Huge. Otherwise, what I also like to do is I like to do the crunchy. I'll do like a Ritz topping and do that with like roasted cauliflower and broccoli.
Oh.
And so there's a little bit of olive oil in the Ritz, or like honey glazed Brussels sprouts.
Ooh.
Divine.
And super fancy, but probably not that complicated.
Not complicated at all. Not one bit. We can do things that are a little bit more exciting. You could do stuffed mushrooms with pesto. You can literally buy the pesto and the mushrooms, stuff it, and then make a topping. Easy.
Throw it in the oven at that person's house.
There you go.
And look how fancy you are. I actually just got asked about this from the media recently, about how much weight people gain during the holidays. It's not that much.
Right.
But we absolutely do fall out of our routines, of our healthy eating and our snacks and et cetera. How do we get back on track after maybe a vacation or a cruise or the holidays? How do you get back into action?
Sometimes what I do is I'm like, okay, protein shake, right? So I'll get like a Fairlife protein shake, and then I go back to my salad regimen. In my mind, if I'm having like a protein shake and I'm having like a salad mix, then I'm doing okay. Now I'm getting into the groove of things, and then I jump back into it. But also I think taking a little bit of time to kind of plan for when you do come back. Have some safe things in the fridge ready for you. So plan for that.
You can always have shelf-stable items. You can always have beans in your pantry. Canned beans are fine. No salt added. Way to go. You can always have pasta or rice. There's just a lot that you can start with. But you have those things on hand that you're going to regularly use, that you don't have to worry about going bad. They're just there for a super busy night, or a Sunday when you don't feel like doing anything,
right?
In terms of meal planning or prepping, or when you get back from the holidays and you're like, all right, let's start tomorrow with a protein shake.
Right. Yeah. And it has to be realistic and, you know, sustainable for sure.
Jen, thank you so much for hanging out with me today. I appreciate all of your wisdom, and you're even more fun to spend time with in the kitchen. This is fine too, I guess.
Well, thank you so much for having me. This was amazing.
So, is it really possible to have healthy meals during the holiday season? Absolutely. You can start by prepping items in advance to relieve stress. And there's plenty of veggie substitutes to mix into traditional recipes or healthy dishes you can bring to a gathering. And if a holiday break throws you off your game, give yourself some grace. It helps to have shelf staples like beans and pasta or protein shakes to help you get back into meal planning mode. So when you're ready, you can jump back into your healthy, efficient meal planning. That's all for this episode. If you've got a question or topic suggestion, you can leave us a voicemail at 507-538-6272. We might even feature your voice on the show. You can find more information about Chef Jen's cookbook, Cook Smart, Eat Well, in the show notes online. And for cooking demos, join the Mayo Clinic Diet online to see Chef Jen in action. For more on nutrition episodes and resources, check us out online at mayoclinic.org/onnutrition. Thanks for listening, and until next time, eat well and be well.
This podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be relied upon as medical or legal advice. Always consult with a qualified healthcare provider for any medical questions. The appearance of any guest does not imply an endorsement of them, their employer, or any entity they represent. The views and opinions are those of the speakers and do not necessarily reflect the views of Mayo Clinic. Reference to any product, service, or entity does not constitute an endorsement of or recommendation by Mayo Clinic.